Welcome to Future CEOs, ladies.
Thank you.
Gareth Armstrong, are you going to be part of this picture?
I am, and I'm not a lady, so thank you for including me.
So, you know, the topic that I always get asked, and I always like asking, is as women, how do we break through the gender glass ceiling?
I'm going to be the stuck in the mud very quickly and do the business end of this.
Yeah.
First, we have to acknowledge Accenture. We have to acknowledge Mercedes-Benz, who are here supporting future CEOs. Mm-hmm. We also have to talk about contemporary events. That's why this place looks so great.
Mm-hmm. And Home Sweet Home.
And Home Sweet Home, which is Cliff Central. All of these are sponsors. They support us. They support you, future CEOs. And then you've asked the question.
Yes.
But does our audience know who they're talking to?
Well, I was about to ask them to introduce themselves.
Sorry.
Okay, I think you're getting way too involved in this conversation.
I'm out.
Okay, let's go anti-clockwise. Let's start with you. Can you tell all the ladies in the room who you are and what you do?
Hello, ladies. How are you? Good, thank you. My name is Phuthi Mahanyele, and I am the chairman of Sigma Capital. And I'm also still currently the CEO of Shanduka Group, but it's a transition though. So that's what I do.
Thank you so much for your time, as always.
Absolutely.
Shirley, hi.
Thank you. So I'm Shirley Zern. I am a professor at the University of Pretoria in Gibbs, and I am also a consultant. I'm Shirley Zern Consulting in HR strategy, and I'm also a non-executive director on a number of boards. I'm previously the HR director for Standard Bank, Nedbank, SARS, and a few others. So I'm looking forward to a conversation with all of you today. Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Donna.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Nice to see you all here. And I'm very happy that we have a man here, because I would have liked to have seen lots of men here, because we need them to break through the glass ceiling. Anyway, I've been in South Africa since 1994. I came here to be part of the great change happening in this country. I retired a year ago as CEO of Citigroup here in South Africa. And the next day I found myself as Director of Capital Markets at the Johannesburg Stock Exchange.
Wow.
And I'm really loving my life in retirement, working very hard at the JSCP.
Kathy. So my name is Catherine Constantinides. I am a climate activist and humanitarian. I run a program called Miss Earth South Africa. I also run the same program in Zambia and Cote d'Ivoire, and very, very passionate about food security and the development of women specifically on the African continent.
How great are expert panels, huh? Great. Let's get stuck into it. Why are there so few women in executive roles? Why are we in the vast minority? So let's start off with you, Donna.
You know, I think there are several reasons for that. And I will say that there are exceptions to that. And I'm very proud to say at the JSE that of 11 executive members of our management, 8 of them are women, including our CEO, including our chairman. So, but you're right. If you look across the board, that is the exception and not the norm. And I believe there's several reasons for it. One is, for a long time, there haven't been sufficient role models for women coming through the ranks. I think there also have been a lack of sponsors. Mm-hmm. And I make that distinction between a sponsor and a mentor.
Okay.
And I think there's been plenty of mentors, but very few real sponsors of pulling women up through the ranks. I think another reason is women have typically tended to shy away from mainline P&L responsibility, and have typically preferred to go into, you know, the CFO role or more on outside of the main line of the business. I think women are perceived to not have as much of a big picture view of the company as a whole. Mm. They're perceived not to stand up and ask for things, to ask for the next job, to ask for the next promotion. Mm. So, I think, quite frankly, in many companies, There has been, because of this culture of sponsorship and so forth, people have tended to promote and bring in others that think like them, that work like them, and so forth. So I think that, and a lot of that is linked to not using external networks and not really knowing what your worth is and promoting that work. So let me leave it at that.
You know what, Putia, we've spoken about this before and how rough and tough it has been for you on a personal note and your experiences.
Yeah.
Can you give us some of those examples of some of the experiences that it made you feel inadequate of being a black female in the industry that you're in?
Yeah, it really is. It's very tough. I guess the reality, just before I come to what you were asking me, is that at the end of the day, when you think about it, as women, there are so many different roles that we have in society. You know, not only do we have roles in business or whatever careers that we choose, but we also are expected to play a more significant role in our families as well.
You
know? And so often that can be, you know, difficult because unfortunately you find that in many families that there's still this expectation that the woman is the one that looks after the children and deals with all of the family issues. But I think that now what you see, and certainly what I've seen with the CEO of the JSC, is that you find where there are couples who, you know, will agree between them on what makes sense with regards to looking after children and dealing with all of those, you know, responsibilities that we have, and particularly when you get married. So I think it is difficult, but I think for, you know, women who are still coming up now, the issue is that when you get married, please, you know, talk with your husband about the responsibilities that you have so that you can continue to grow in your company, because there's nothing that says that once you get married, you can't continue to be this leading CEO. And
absolutely,
you look at Nikki Newton King, you look at Kanyile Momkhize. We've got so many examples of women who are married and are still able to lead leading organizations, you know, in the country,
Kathy,
and in the world.
Kathy, thank you, Putit. Because you are basically grooming the Miss Earths to become global leaders and community leaders and South African leaders. What advice and tools are you giving them to see through these situations of, you know, gender biases that we get in the corporate and working environment?
I think for me, the one thing that's really important, leading off of what Putti says, women are still the central pillar of our homes and our communities. So this is really important because women, you know, you can be in the workspace and you can be an absolute tiger. When you go home, you're a mom. And the role of a mother and the role of a woman in society, we need to understand how we for ourselves define that role.
Yeah.
And I think that for me, through the work that I do specifically around women empowerment, the one thing that for me is critical is the fact that I truly believe we need to also uplift the boy child. And I think it's the only way to move forward. If we start looking and thinking about gender inclusivity and gender equality, as opposed to conversations around women. 99.9% of the people in this room are women. I think that's a starting point. The problem needs to be that these conversations need to be had with male counterparts as well. This needs to become a conversation where we're talking about gender equality. How do we ensure that we don't only uplift and empower women, but we uplift the boy child too? We can't find ourselves in a situation in 25 years' time where we have a generation of powerful women and they don't have an equal counterpart. We then sit with a different paradigm and a different set of challenges. So we need to start ensuring that men become a critical part
absolutely
of these conversations.
So we're not excluding men. We want women inclusion in every single atmosphere, in all spheres, basically.
Absolutely. We need to get to a point that in 20 years' time, we don't even have these kinds of platforms because gender equality is the norm.
So let me weigh in here then. you're answering me. The first thing I heard was that I'm a 0.01. That doesn't make me feel too good as a man, I must tell you. Men are just, we're creatures of ego.
Sorry.
But I'm very, very glad that you raised this because I was going to raise it at some point. I struggle with this idea that we are always polarizing ourselves.
Yeah.
We are always perpetuating the cycle that we're trying to avoid. You've said it very eloquently. I just want to add a voice to support that exactly, that we mustn't polarize ourselves and we should be talking together.
Shirley, why such little numbers when it comes to women in senior executive position?
I think there are some real challenges within corporate South Africa. I think that while we've had a raft of legislation, while we've had lots of lip service, while we have a few companies who tick the boxes, there are still a large proportion of our organizations out there who still haven't got it. So we've got lots of women, we all quote big numbers and we'll say, oh, but, you know, so we, for example, we'd say the bank, 60% of our, you know, women are, you know, 60% of the bank is women. But as you go up towards the senior positions, they clearly thin out. And there are a whole raft of reasons for this as well, amongst which is unconscious bias, sexism, old policies and behaviors, and cultures that are still at play that entrenches the kind of behavior that prevents women from actually breaking that glass ceiling. A lot of us say, you know, the glass ceiling has been broken by many, many courageous women. Many of you are in the room here today. But a large proportion of women in South Africa particularly have not been able to navigate their way through a maze of complexities and actual gender bias and sexism in our organizations. And this is hugely unfortunate. So we need to find ways to actually push hard against this and to challenge this. Because I think we need to partner with men who will be able to support and sponsor us through this. And I just want to say to all the men in the room today, Gareth, thank you very much for the support that we do get from men in organizations who have helped us, who have understood the complexities, and who want to build a society and organizations that thrive and are successful because we have the diversity that is reflective of society.
Yeah. Shirley, I want to just jump in here because there's a question that's coming from you, Yolisa. Yolisa, where are you? There she is over there. Oh, you're very active. Great. Perfect. This relates. What should we demand from our companies in order to ensure women are truly
equal? That's a
nice question. Or made equal? And it's open to everyone, of course.
All of you.
Please, Shirley, though.
Yeah, so, Yolisa, it's a very good question. And I think that a lot of women are sitting there trying to answer that question. Now, women's inequality, the inequality in terms of, you know, the way we experience it as women, is not a problem for women only to solve. I think we need to find a way to build organizations and a society, co-create something with men that we can all feel is just and is you know, based on equitable principles. Now, the question of special attributes and you need to acquire as a professional woman, I think you need to be confident. I think you need to be sure of yourself. You need to believe in yourself. You need to surround yourself with people who will inspire you. You need to continue to learn. It's a continuous process of learning. You need to especially not live in fear and anxiety of failure. I think a lot of us take that on board and we, you know, and that becomes such a big thing in our lives. So we're afraid, constantly afraid that somehow we're going to be found to be inadequate. You are not inadequate. Do not let anybody tell you that you are going to fail. Okay, step up, lean in, be the best you can be, and make sure that you are constantly influencing decisions that are being made about justice and equity in the workplace. And you will succeed. So these are the attributes. Of course, you need to have the necessary qualifications and experience. You need to be visible. You need to build your brand. It's a long list of activities that you need to build simultaneously, you know, as you go. So it's complex. And that is why you need to surround yourself with the people who are going to be able to take you forward, both men and women.
Kathy, attributes to you that'll acquire a professional just to break through that glass ceiling. What do you tell the Miss Earths?
You know, I think it's important that we need to constantly be growing who we are. And if we constantly are exposing ourselves to things that enrich who we are, we become stronger people. Not stronger women. We become stronger people. And I think that this is something that goes, you know, men and women should both be doing this. I think also something that we should be doing within the workspace to answer that question is that we need to challenge men to take up the gender issue. We need men in organizations right at the top to ensure that they're pulling up the young women at the bottom who do have the potential to become leaders. We need men to be championing these causes. And I think for me that's a really important thing. I think that women need to stand their ground and need to understand that they are most certainly adequate And they need, for me, it's about building a culture. How do women become integral in building a culture of inculcating the ideology that we should be at the top? That we should be the CEO, not because we're a woman, but because we are equally qualified to be there. And that is critical.
We're often described to be aggressive when we just want to be assertive. Is that right in the workplace, Pudi? Donna?
Okay.
Anyone, yeah?
Yeah. I think it's actually quite interesting that the only time you hear about this aggression is when it relates to women.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know, yeah. It doesn't make sense. You know, at the end of the day, we do need to be assertive. But being assertive doesn't mean that you come across as this aggressive person. Being assertive, you can do it as a very quiet person, but you put your point across, yeah. You know, in a very nice way. You can put your point across. And so that's something that's very important, and particularly when you're still growing. I would say that for the young professionals who are here, that it is important that you develop this way of being able to deal with issues without necessarily trying to fight with everybody.
That's so important.
But to actually be able to just deal with issues in an orderly manner. But also think of which fights are worthy of taking on.
Yeah.
Because it's not worth it to fight over everything, you know?
Yeah.
And quite frankly, yeah. Your time should be focused on trying to grow your career as opposed to trying to fight everybody that's in your way.
Donna? Yeah.
I'd like to comment on Gavin's first question and also on what we've been talking about in terms of attributes. And when I was appointed the CEO of Citi in South Africa, Citi's a global company, operates in 102 countries. And in those 102 countries, when I was appointed, there were only 5 women running those businesses.
Imagine.
I was flabbergasted. And only 2 of them running big countries. The rest were very, very small businesses, tiny businesses. And then subsequent to that, I went to a meeting in London of the corporate and investment bankers. And in that meeting, most people dialed in. It was a big global meeting. And I noticed there were lots of men. And then I was so relieved to see a whole troop of women come in. And they sat down. And then we got into the meeting. And I realized that the troop of women that were there to give the presentation on the women's forum. And so when that presentation was over, the troop went out. And I was the only woman left sitting in the room. So now that's changed a lot in 5 years. What did that company do to change that? Mm-hmm. They insisted that women be on the slate for every position that was being opened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, so if you're asking specifically what should I demand of my company, I think we should demand diversity in the slate for every open position that comes up in the company.
Absolutely.
That there be 2 diversity on the slate. Yeah. And not just wink, wink, oh, we're going to interview this one. We're going to take Donna because she's female. There has to be true diversity and a policy that happens.
Yeah.
I've seen it work, and it was very effective. Yeah. Otherwise, you don't get a chance.
Yeah.
And you're feeling big about policy making, Shirley. I know that about you.
Yes, so it's about the recruitment process. So who are we going to put into the next position? It's about succession planning. It's who are we grooming, who are we developing, who's in line for the next position? What kind of conversations are we having with these people? Are we retaining them? Are we paying them fairly? Do we know that in this day and age, women are still earning less than men doing the same jobs? Now, this can't be possible. So we got to look at the entire value chain from recruitment to promotions to progression of women through the organization, through creating a culture of fairness and equity for everyone, where we understand what the rules of the game are, what the competition is, and that it's fair and transparent and open, and we can all participate in that. And that is to be what needs to be reflected in our policies today. And that is where corporate South Africa can make a very big difference.
A comment, if I may, and it comes from a woman CEO that I interviewed a number of years ago, and I asked her how she deals with a number of things, conflict in the workplace, this idea of aggression versus being assertive, the wage gap and so on.
Yeah.
There are deliverables, and if you hold a person accountable to a deliverable, then there's no need to be aggressive, because deliverable speaks for itself.
Yeah.
And how it might then relate to the wage issue is that you can demand to be paid on deliverables.
Mm.
And that's not gender-based. It's common sense. if I do X, I want Y, and I want Y.
Yeah.
Or Y squared.
Yeah. But you know, I think what's very important about that is, and this is another one of the attributes, and it's very important to know the technical aspects of your job. If you want to get ahead, you can demand things of your company, you can challenge company on its diversity statistics, you can challenge your company on policies and a lot of other things. But if you don't know the technical aspects of your job, your numbers, the business that you're running, you can't really expect to move ahead. No. And I think that, you know, that's very important. Absolutely. I think a few other attributes are, you know, sharing knowledge, bringing people along with you.
Absolutely.
And in today's world, you don't lead by appointment. You lead by influence. You really lead by influence. And if you know your stuff, if you share your knowledge, if you can trust people and they can trust you, and you do these other things about, you know, speaking up about, you know, policies of equality and equal opportunity and so forth, you stand a better chance. But a lot of it is within us as women to do that.
We talk a lot on Future CEOs about character and attitude and purpose. Are those female attributes like more than you'd find in our male counterparts, Kathy?
I think I'm so glad you mentioned that, because one of the most powerful things we take into a boardroom are the attributes we have as a woman. And we should never downplay those or pretend that those don't exist, because those are what make us who we are. Mm. And we need to carry those with pride inside a boardroom. We need to make sure, the other thing you asked me earlier is, what do I tell the Miss Earth girls? Mm. And how do I ensure that through that program we build women? The most important thing that I hope to leave them with is the fact that women empower and girls compete. How do we uplift other women in our organizations? How do we ensure that we're taking women with us up that same ladder? Yeah. Because I think sometimes in organizations, women can be their worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Women do not build other women. And that is so, so critical. In the space of these discussions, we need to always remember that women must empower other women.
Yeah.
Because we do understand each other on a level that a man will never understand us. And the attributes and the beautiful things, the emotional things that make us a woman, are things that we must never downplay or pretend that they don't exist. Yeah. I really think those are powerful cherries on the cake that we have.
Question.
Puti, Phoebe alluded to a conversation that we did have with you around some elements of discrimination that you have felt.
Yeah.
There is a question here from Miss Q. Yeah. Where are you, Miss Q? Here we go. And I'd like to adjust the question, if I may, because it's bigger than just the engineering field.
Yeah.
How do you deal with discrimination and sexism?
Yeah.
When you're confronted with it and it's in your face right there, how do you actually deal with it?
Yeah. No, it's very difficult, and particularly when you're still a junior professional. And I would say particularly on the sexism that, you know, I experienced that a lot, particularly as a junior professional. And the racism as well, you know, the discrimination and all of that. And I think the first thing is that, number one, you do still pick your battles because you don't want to be fighting every fight.
Sure.
And number two, you look for people who will be willing to support you in your growth in the organization. And I was very fortunate. I went and I looked for people that I thought would support me. And because I'm a black woman, I expected that it would take another black woman to support me.
Okay.
So that was my first port of call. I went to the one senior black woman that was in the organization to get her to support me, to work, you know, with me. And that wasn't there. Mm. And the support that I got was from a much older white male. And he was so supportive, and, you know, I was in New York, and you know, I wasn't used to the city and the company and all of that. And he was very, very supportive, introduced me to his family and all of this. And he was very hard, very tough, but really helped me in my growth. So I think
what do we take from that story, Putin?
Okay. So when you're looking for someone that will help you in your growth, don't look for a specific gender, a specific race. Look for the person that will help you.
A values alignment.
The values, exactly. Look for those, focus on those, and that person will be able to support you in your growth. And you know, issues of discrimination and sexism, they are there all the time. You just adjust how you respond to them, you know. And as I say, you don't want to be fighting every fight. Pick your battles, what's worthy of actually fighting, and how you do it as well.
Donna, I'm sure it's rough at the JSC. Tell us a little bit about exactly what Puti is highlighting.
Well, you know, I couldn't agree with her more. I grew up in it's not engineering, but I grew up in a dealing room. And, you know, often being the only woman in the dealing room, where there are pictures of naked women all over the desk.
Oh, wow.
And the language that
guys
people...
Just, oh.
No.
You'd like to do that, huh? Sorry.
I was shocked. I'm appalled.
I was joking.
So you said there are different ways of dealing with it, and you really have to judge those situations. Again, I agree with everything that Puti has said. But what I would offer is those situations have to be dealt with then and there when they happen.
Yeah.
And there are ways, you know, sometimes you'll deal with those situations by, you know, you laugh it off, but you've got to be able to interpret what is the right way to handle this so the individual knows that I'm just not into this.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just no-go without having the opposite effect that you provoke it even more. It's really a judgment call, and it's the EQ and all that.
Absolutely.
And you know, in some professions still today, you have to make those calls every day. And there are certain professions like engineering, like trading, and so forth, where they're extreme.
Yeah.
Dr. Shaley.
Yeah, I think also, you know, when women show some aspiration, when they show some ambition, they come across as, that's such an unfeminine thing to do. And I want to just also encourage you never ever to lose your femininity. Never ever to sell your soul for the next level, for the next job. I find myself many times on executive committees and on boards by myself as a woman. I've never had to get up onto the table and smash my hand and say, you won't listen to me because I'm a woman. You know, what I do is I show up. I present myself professionally. I abide by the values of respect for other people, and that I demand that respect in return. I build a trust because I have good solutions that I put on the table. I've done my research. I've done my homework. I can validate all of it. And so, you know, you win a few rounds, and then people begin to say, okay, she's actually got a few good ideas. Let's listen. You know, and you'll still find, you know, the crazy peripheral who will try to, you know, do a left field on you, try to take you down, try to knock your knees out, you know, while you're up on your feet. But it is very, very important to stand firm, not to allow people to say, well, she's arrogant and she's, you know, she actually doesn't know what she's talking about. There will constantly be people who will set you back and try to take you down. There are constantly people, men and women, who do this all the time. The question is, how do you respond to it, and how do you come back from it? First thing is, do not take it personally, okay? Because this is the other thing we do. We take it personally, we get very hurt, we become very fragile, and then we cry, and we fall into the very trap, you know, that people
we're trying
say.
To get out of.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So you're emotional, and you're volatile, and actually, you know something? We don't need all the soft stuff here.
Drama.
We're running a business, okay? So do not go down that path. You know, build that inner strength and resilience. Focus on the issue at hand. And go for the jugular if you have to, in the most professional way. And do not ever let your guard down, even when you're under attack. This is very, very important.
I agree with that.
Setbacks will happen. Setbacks are temporary. Glass ceiling, you know, is about barriers. All of those things are temporary. You can deal with obstacles. They will come and go. You just stay true to your vision, and you will overcome some of the challenges in ways that you wouldn't imagine. I mean, as Puti was saying, support comes from areas that you can't even imagine. You know, there are people there who support you couldn't even imagine. Continue to nurture good relationships with people based on ethical foundations, and you will be successful.
Amy, where are you? Amy, your question has just been answered. Are you happy? Excellent.
What question did
I answer? Let's go, Adele. Adele, where are you? There you are. Adele is asking, there are still companies with male execs with zero interest in having this conversation.
Yeah.
How do we deal with that?
Yeah.
How do we deal with that?
Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, we forget that we're consumers. We're consumers of these organizations. And so, you know, it is nothing that stops us as consumers of these organizations that don't embrace women as leaders. And so we need to take our role and be able to decide what we're going to do in confronting that organization, you know? And so, you know, we need to come up with different strategies on what we do as groups of women.
So no passive approach. There needs to be active something.
Absolutely.
Beyond maybe this reliance on policy.
Yeah.
That's what I hear.
Exactly.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So I think we need to be activists.
Yeah.
There are many ways of doing this, and there's the Employment Equity Act. There's all of these sorts of legislations, and they've talked about naming and shaming, and that there are still some organizations listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, something like, I might have the number wrong, but between 15% and 20%, it's 1% is unforgivable, okay, where they still only have men on the executive committees.
Mm.
That is still a reality in our time.
Yeah.
And we need to find a way to actually actively challenge it. So you've got to look at, you know, what are they selling into the market?
Mm.
What, you know, why is this happening? And we need to go and have conversations and challenge and push this boundary a little bit harder. And it's not only women that must do this.
Mm.
So we need to partner with men. We need to partner and find a way to actually begin to fundamentally address some of these issues and to say, this is unacceptable in a country like ours that is striving for democratic principles. And it's unfortunate that we still have this. And yeah, sometimes when you raise the gender issues and gender inequality in the boardroom, you know, you can see people just glaze over. It's like, oh no, not that topic again.
I know,
you know?
I know.
But we need to constantly be pushing the boundaries. And I think the more role models we see, the more success stories we share, I think the more we will improve the fact that, you know, in the business case has been written, our consumers are primarily women make decisions, make monetary and economic decisions more than men do in terms of purchasing power.
Correct.
And more, you know, we're just not going to buy, you know, what these organizations are selling. So we do have that power to do that. We're not powerless.
Mm.
And I think this is an important thing as well. Often we feel we don't have the power, but we do, and we've got to believe in that.
True.
Kathy, what personality traits and characteristics give us an edge within the workplace? You're very much a big activist and philanthropist. What gives you an edge in from a woman's eyes to another woman?
I think the fact that I say I'm not scared to say something. I'm not scared to actually give my views. I'm not prepared to take a back seat in a boardroom. And these things are things that people often will look at me and say, maybe I'm a quiet person. But in a boardroom, I'm not scared to open my mouth and say what I believe is right. And I think the other thing that for me is important is when you know something is wrong, don't just stand by and let it happen.
Mm.
You must be the voice of reason that changes that fundamental practice that happens.
Mm.
And you're not in business and you're not in a boardroom to make friends. You're there to earn the respect of the people you work with. You need to make sure that you're not scared of saying things as they are. We're not there to stroke egos and make people feel comfortable.
Oh.
We're really there to be the change makers of a space. We need to be the active citizens that start to change what the norm is,
right,
so that we are playing a fundamental role in changing the gender discussion as we move forward. And I think making sure that you bring that femininity that you said, bring that into the boardroom and make sure that you carry it with pride. Never be scared of the fact that I think often for me, my age is always counted against me and people put me in a box.
Yeah.
You're blonde and you look like this, they put you in a box.
Mm.
Challenge that box and make sure that by the time you've left that boardroom, people are completely blown away and have absolutely no idea what to say.
Yeah.
Donna, what...
Can I want to jump in. So, and this is not, this is a woman and a male thing. And so the I'm sorry. I heard you whispering.
Is he allowed to jump in? I was asking for this.
Yes, I'm allowed to jump in. What gives me great confidence when I walk into a boardroom? What gives me the ability to say my say? That confidence, what is it? I think that's important. So you've said what we should do, but how do we do it? I want to share what I would do, and it's simply have all my ducks in a row.
Yeah,
before I stand up and say anything, I just want to know that the four boxes are ticked, and if those four boxes are ticked, no one can argue with me. Mm. The evidence is there. I can be as confident as I want to be, and that's not a woman or a man thing. That's just a normal thing. Hopefully normal.
Yeah, should professional
be,
thing.
Should be normal. Professional.
Yeah. What gives you your edge, Donna?
Look, I've always made sure that I was very technically competent in what I did. I always made sure that I was willing to take risks and willing to step out there. I was very fortunate that I was given an opportunity to get a lot of exposure to very senior people, even when we didn't have women in senior roles, but as a junior professional, I got a lot of exposure. And I learned early on that it was, particularly in the kind of business I was in as a trader, that I learned early on the importance of knowing what your worth is. And your worth needs to be validated internally in your organization, but you need to know your worth externally.
Okay.
And having a very strong network is very valuable to an employer, whether you're an engineer, a trader, or what you are. So I think, you know, in addition to what all the other ladies have said, and I agree with all that's been said, I would put those things forward in addition to courage and so forth. But knowing your stuff and really using your external network, knowing your worth, very important.
Shelley,
and getting exposure.
What gives you your edge? What is your edge?
I think knowing your value. Knowing your value is very important, because when you know your value, you know your worth, you know who you are, and there's not much that can actually rattle that, okay? Because if you don't know your value, you're constantly anxious, and you don't believe in yourself.
Yeah, you undermine yourself.
Self-doubting, and people see the gap, okay? Sure. They'll go for it. So I think that is very, very important, know your worth. The other thing that was very important to me in my journey was knowing that education was going to be my liberation, okay?
Sure.
Knowing that I needed to work really hard and study, and you know, and I'm not advocating that everybody does multiple degrees and all of that, but continuous learning, whether it be informal, whether it be formal, whether it be through mentorship, whether it be through coaching, whether it just be through your own self-learning, be self-driven in this space. It is very, very important. Don't wait for your organization to say, we're going to put you on a training program, you know. Don't wait for that. Put up your hand if there's an opportunity.
Absolutely.
And say, I want to do that. When there's an opportunity for a job rotation, put up your hand. Okay, don't be afraid of doing that. You know, Sheryl Sandberg in her book also talks about what would you do if you were not afraid? And sometimes we have to push our own internal barriers, not step back, step into it, take up the challenge and take the risk. Because if you don't, then you're just going to be in the same place all the time and find reasons why you're spinning your wheels. And you will never believe it. Not even I could have believed it, but you have far more potential than you think you have. You have the ability to do what you think is the impossible. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies. The limitations we put on ourselves are self-made limitations. So liberate your soul almost to, you know, to be available for opportunities. And adversity, in my case as well, often was a gift.
The best thing that ever happened
to you. It was
a
gift, absolutely.
Love that. Puti, what's your edge?
I think for me, my edge is really being able to focus on the positive. I remember that with my father, you know, when I think of the fact that, you know, he grew up in serious racist South Africa, you know, apartheid South Africa. And yet that did not stop him from earning a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, and a doctorate. And so, you know, I say to myself that if he could do that, what more can I do? And so I focus on the positives. And, you know, one of the things that really surprises me is just how much as South Africans we focus on the negatives. You know, just the other day, Brazil got this significant downgrade and we were focusing on negative issues around South Africa. How about focusing on what we can do? to build a better future for ourselves. For example, I'll ask you all a question. What do you think is the number one stock exchange in the world in terms of regulations and other aspects that speak to regulations in the world? The JSE. You know, we have got so many significant things that have been done in this country. There's so much that is being done by us in this country. If we could focus on those things and build on what we can do, instead of looking at the negatives that government isn't doing or our companies aren't doing, how about what you are doing? When last did you go to a school in some area in the township and speak to kids there about helping them? When last did you go and help some people that you know need help in a neighborhood that you pass by every day? There are things that we can do, and it doesn't take millions of rands. Mm. All it takes is our time and our willingness to do so.
You wanted to say something, Kathy?
I want to say something. I think Puti's put it so perfectly. And the same thing applies to women. Yeah. We will walk into a boardroom, and we will divulge all of the negatives, all of the things we cannot do, instead of first putting forward all the things we can do.
Yes.
A man will walk into the boardroom and tell you everything he can do, and he's already forgotten what he can't do.
Yeah.
And I think we need to start thinking differently. Yeah. The paradigm we walk into a boardroom with needs to be different.
Yeah.
And that ethos of how can we be an active citizen every single day to better who we are as human beings is something that we need to look at internally. How do we lead from within?
Yeah.
How do we ensure that we're better people? The only person that we should compete with is who we were yesterday.
Yeah.
And I think it is so important that we constantly on a journey of growth and personal development. Mm. Because only then, when we walk into that boardroom and we're confident and we understand our own worth and we understand exactly what we're doing there, only then will we start competing on the level that we need to be.
Love it. Wow. Wonder Woman, and we're running out of time, so this is the last question each. If you could go back 20 years and speak to the 20-year-old you, what advice or counsel would you say to yourself about 2015 and your careers? Let's start with Donna.
Thank you. Well, I would say take more risk. I think I was obviously happy with my career trajectory, but there were lots of opportunities that I can look back on now that I had that I was just too afraid to take because I didn't think that I had what I needed to be able to succeed in that role. So I think that I would take more risks and I would have more focus on my ambition and seeing myself as being successful. Seeing, you know, to the point of, you know, be the person you want to be in the future today. But definitely I would have taken a lot more risk.
Kathy?
Sure. Well, in a few 20 years ago, I was.
She was born. She was born.
So I think looking back, as a little girl, looking back, I think for me, the one thing that I can say is that in every decision I've made, I've been very brave.
Yeah.
Even as a young girl, I wouldn't be where I am today if I wasn't the brave young girl I was. So I think that I carry that with me, and I hope that in 20 years' time, when I look back, I can still look back and say I'm still that brave young girl that still carries those little girls' dreams and still continuing to build on those dreams.
That's
right. Dr. Shirley.
As the great Nelson Mandela said, it always seems impossible until it's done. Okay? And that is very, very important to remember. You know, every barrier, every day presents itself with all sorts of challenges. And we can sit back and say, oh, this is just too much for me. Or we can actually rise to the occasion. And there are many times when I thought, what are you doing? You know, you're never going to make this. You're applying for scholarships to Harvard. You're doing a doctorate at Harvard. You're doing this. You're doing, want to be the HR, director of Standard Bank or Nedbank. I never thought I would do those things. But it is possible. It is entirely in the realm of the possible for you to do that. And so I just want to encourage you. I mean, one of the things that I've written down here for myself, you know, I've always had to work hard.
Mm.
So things don't just come to you.
Easy come, easy go.
You have to work hard every day. And you have to be excellent at what you do every day. You've got to, you know, excellence has got to become a habit. And if you do that, and you're having a bit of fun while you're doing it as well, you will succeed. You know, you will overcome the challenges. And for me, that was very important. Of course, stay true to yourself. Stay true to your values. Mm. And you will inevitably succeed.
I always say, and I haven't forgotten about you, I always say excellence is, it's a commitment to be my best. Yeah. And it's not a competition, especially with other women. Yeah.
Exactly, you know, right.
So that's me and my mantra.
Exactly. Yeah.
20-year-old young Aputi.
The 20-year-old me. I would say stop trying to be a perfectionist.
Really?
I tried too much to perfect everything. And I did big mistakes. And that's why I've been divorced so many times.
Thank you for sharing.
You know, I think, you know, as women, it's important that we embrace the many roles that we have and that you don't try to be a perfectionist in any particular area, but just love what you do and be committed to it, but love every part of you, you know, and because we are so fortunate that we have so many aspects of us. We have our families, we have our careers, we have embrace every part of you and don't try to pigeonhole yourself into one area.
Gareth, anything you'd like to close
with? Oh, yes, thank you. What do I always say to you when we start getting competitive?
Oh, they're not like our enemy?
Yeah.
Share the love?
Share the love. There's a phrase I like to use, and it's build bridges.
Absolutely.
We just build bridges.
He tells me that all the time.
And and we all can build bridges no matter where we are. Yeah. So that's my take on our women's only how to break through the gender glass ceiling conversation. Did you want to have a last word? Or were you saying amen, Gareth?
Oh, I'm saying amen, Gareth.
Okay.
Ball bridges.
May I end us? Ladies, we couldn't have got a better panel together.
Best.
We keep on wondering, how do we top what we have done before? And we have today.
No.
You inspire me, and I appreciate all of you. Thank you for being here and helping our future CEOs community, male and female.
Yeah. A woman who inspire, women of substance, beautiful women, women of value and progressive visionaries. And that's what you ladies are all about. Thank you so much.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That was fun.